With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. The year was 1953. Paris. Prices were low. A student on the GI Bill could make it on less than $30 a week. The city was filled with Americans. It was in that climate that writers Peter Matheson and Harold Humes decided to publish a literary magazine. They called it the Paris Review. At the time, a young Harvard graduate named George Plimpton was a student at Cambridge.
Peter Matheson, who's an old friend, novelist of great reputation, had just written his first novel and started this magazine along with his fellow Humes, another novelist, and they needed somebody to be the editor. So I, with previous experience of editing the Harvard Lampoon, they thought that I should know something about putting together a magazine, so they asked me to do it.
So George Plimpton packed his bags and went to Paris to become the editor of the Paris Review.
We had ideas that I must say interested me about it. One of them was that we were going to try to produce a magazine which devoted itself almost entirely to creative work.
Most of the literary magazines of the day were dedicated to essays and criticism, which the Paris Review decided to avoid.
And concentrate almost entirely on publishing short stories, sections of novels, poetry, artwork.
As well as a long-running series of interviews with famous writers.
There have been actually 7 volumes of these interviews published over the years, published by the Viking Press. It's really a very distinguished series. We're able to interview Faulkner and Hemingway and Frost and T.S. Eliot and others.
Issue number 1 of the Paris Review hit the stands in the spring of 1953.
We had posters made. We put them everywhere in Paris.
Eventually, the Paris Review moved from Paris to New York.
It was really a necessity because Paris changed considerably. It got very expensive. The writers who were there on the GI Bill of Rights came home. The only writer who stayed on was James Jones, who could afford to.
The Paris Review reached a milestone in 1986 with its 100th issue, and George Plimpton is still the editor. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. In 1953, one of the things George Plimpton had to do as the editor of the Paris Review was to find someone to bankroll the fledgling literary magazine, thus the role of the publisher.
We've had 4 publishers. The first was Sadruddin Aga Khan, who was the second son of the famous old gentleman, the fellow who used to weigh himself in jewelry, and was a friend of mine.
How does one become friends with the Aga Khan?
Well, he was at Harvard. I knew him in Europe. We went to Spain, followed the bulls.
Just one of the boys, then.
Yeah.
The fact is, the Paris Review earns very little money.
It doesn't lose a great deal, but what money we do make, we try to pay the contributors.
Which alone sets the Paris Review apart from most literary magazines. That and a masthead, which is jammed with the names of people described as editors and consultants.
I think there are over 100 on that masthead. I know that there are very few magazines which have more. Rolling Stone, I think, has more people on its masthead.
That's about the only way to compensate the people who have worked for the Paris Review over the years. The Paris Review operates out of the ground floor of George Plimpton's Manhattan townhouse, and Plimpton says he encourages unsolicited manuscripts.
Since the Paris Review is devoted to publishing the work of unknown, emerging writers, it really behooves you to open up everything that comes in. Over the transom, the phrase for it is.
Plimpton says the problem is most of the stuff that comes in isn't worth the paper it's written on.
Everybody thinks they can write. An awful lot of people do at any rate. So we get about 200 or 300 or 400 manuscripts a week.
George Plimpton says the Paris Review has 2 types of rejection slips. Slip A is an outright rejection.
The other one is more polite, saying that the work has interested us and that we would like to see more.
The Paris Review, with 100 issues and 35 years behind it, remains the nation's preeminent literary magazine. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. The long-running literary magazine, The Paris Review, celebrated its 100th issue last year, and George Plimpton has been the editor since the magazine's founding in 1953. Today, the magazine is printed in New Hampshire, but at one time the printing was done in Holland, and copies had to be shipped to the United States. George Plimpton remembers his battles with customs during the days of censorship.
And the customs had here in New York had a gentleman called Mr. Dempsey. I've never forgotten him. When the issue came in from being printed in Holland, I used to go down to him and argue over the story. And he had a sort of a Mr. Everyman who had 2 children. He used to talk about the person in whose hands the Paris Review must not get.
So George Plimpton would try to paint for Mr. Dempsey a picture of the typical Paris Review reader.
A lonely, a misanthrope Vermont farmer who had no children and read the Paris Review only to burn it instantly because he didn't like anything in it.
But Mr. Dempsey was convinced the Paris Review reader was a family man with children.
I mean, if they got their hands on this stuff, it could infect them in some terrible way.
Once in the mid-1960s, with a dock workers' strike imminent, George Plimpton went to Mr. Dempsey to urge that the precious literary cargo be unloaded.
He said, was there anything in it that would upset me? And I said, I didn't think so. And he then read it that night, and there was a four-letter word in there to show you how carefully Mr. Dempsey read these things to make sure that he was protecting the American reader. He was absolutely outraged. He tried to get the marshals out to bomb this issue and destroy it.
Mr. Dempsey was later overruled by his superiors, and as far as can be determined, no one's morals were compromised by reading the Paris Review.
One of the great pleasures, of course, about doing a magazine like this is that every once in a while, something comes in, either unsolicited or through an agent, which really makes all this worth doing.
George Plimpton and the Paris Review, fixtures on the literary scene since 1953. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swain.